There and welcome to episode 4, season 3 of Rainbow Ridge Connection. I'm Kayla and I have a guest. I know I promised you guys, I kept saying for weeks, I'm like, we have really great guests lined up. You guys are going to be so excited. You're not going to hear me talk and blabber about Cushing's anymore. So I'm really, really excited. We have a guest on our show today. Her name is Erica Messer and she's the creator of Wolfie's Wish. Hi, Erica. Did I say your last name correctly?
You did.
Okay.
Just a messy person. It's real simple. Yeah. You know, hi, Kayla. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm glad that you're on the show. I ask every single time, I always say this. I ask them beforehand, you know, how would you like me to, you know, present you when I start the recording? And then the minute I talk, I go, oh God, I hope I remember to spell or to pronunciate their name right. So I'm glad I got it again. Yay. Yay, yay, yay.
I did, though, have one person ask me if that was my real name once, just once in my life. And I was like, I don't really know what to say to you right now. And I just have my badge. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Yeah, that's horrible.
It actually means knife in German. So apparently my ancestors were like mega sword makers or table knife makers. I don't really know.
That's really cool. No, I like that. I like it's a really cool last name. I mean, it's unique, I feel yeah. Like it's pretty unique and I like unique last names. I mean, like, no offense to anybody named Smith, but like uniqueness is good.
Hey, my husband's last name is Smith, so.
Oh, there you go. See, no offense to him.
Yeah.
There you go.
We don't need to go into it, but he has a very complicated first and middle name to make up for it.
There you go. See, so he's still unique in his own way, even though it may not be last name, but first and middle name, totally unique. That's fantastic. All right, Erica. So tell me, what brings you here?
Oh, man. Well, you know, pet loss is such a difficult topic, and I love talking about it. I love making people comfortable talking about it. And I think it's something extremely important that should be normalized in our society and in the world. So I found you and requested we talk and you said, yeah. And so here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. You reached out and I was like, absolutely. Anything that I feel like would be super beneficial for you guys to hear, I always am on board with. We had a hiccup because I am stupid and what? we tried to record one time before and the time difference, for some reason, I even use a calculator. This is the worst part, is I even use a calculator to calculate the time difference and still cannot, like when we do worldwide, we've had, you know, like, I think we had England and we've had the Philippines. Philippines was really hard because that was like almost 24 hours, like, away from us. And I use a calculator every time and I messed up the last.
No, you didn't mess up. And please don't ever say you're stupid. So here's the frustrating part. The US goes into daylight savings 2 weeks before Europe. So I have it locked in my brain who's where and what time it is, right? All the people I talk to, East Coast, Central, West, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then for 2 weeks, it's changed by 1 hour. And so I'm constantly like, yes, let's meet at this time. And then going, oh my God, did I already adjust for that 1 hour? And so I think that's what happened with us. Cause yeah. All last week, my appointments were just like, where are you?
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know they had daylight savings time. Like I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
But We just had it Sunday. Or a Saturday night or whatever. Mm-hmm. So finally, thank goodness, like East Coast, 6 hours, done. Right. West Coast, 9 hours, done. Oh my gosh.
Are you spring forward? Like, are you guys the same? So you do spring forward and fall back too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was supposed to have a recording with somebody in Ireland like yesterday. I'm so sorry, by the way. And I was an hour ahead. And so I'm all sitting there, like, you know, had a doctor's appointment. I'm like driving back. And she messaged me, like, weren't we supposed to record like 30 minutes ago? I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
No. Oh no. And just for people listening, I'm in Munich, Germany. It's the Baum Diggity. Come and visit. It's an amazing city.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, I don't know, would you want to share a little bit about what made you decide to just move to Germany?
Sure. I mean, I would like the easy answer or the cute answer would be like midlife crisis, but without the crisis. My husband and I just kind of, I think what really happened was we were both traveling for different reasons, and I was in Berlin and he was in Bloomington, Indiana. We just like started having this conversation about moving somewhere different. And I said, okay, look, I'll go to Bloomington, Indiana if we can go to a German-speaking country and I can finish learning the language. And he's like, deal. And so we moved 3 months later after that conversation, and we've been in Germany for 3 years. And I hope Bloomington never happens. I love it here. But that was my bargain. And
Yeah.
I'm totally cool with whatever happens. But it's been a really great eye-opening, mind-blowing experience. And I have learned a lot of the language, but it's still hard. Like I can't read a textbook. Any field with it gets really specific and it's a new subject, I'm like,
Yeah.
but I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with where I'm at. Language. So but
The qualifications for you to move back to Indiana was that you had to be fluent in German. Is that what you said? Yeah, so maybe you just don't ever be fluent.
No, look, you know what? That's an adventure in itself too. And he just loves the Midwest. He went to school in Urbana-Champaign, and I'm fine with it, really. I mean, it sounds adorable. There's gonna be great things there, and I'm sure I will spice up that city like they have never seen before.
That's hilarious. That's so great. Okay, so let's talk about Wolfie's Wish. Tell me about the origin story of Wolfie's Wish and everything that you want to put in the universe.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I Kayla, I'd never heard this the even the word like my soul blank, my soul animal or my soul cat or my heart dog or whatever. Until I lost Wolfgang. Wolfgang is the name, Wolfie's Wish is named after him. And I was like, that's what he was. So he was this amazing little Tasmanian devil creature of a cat who came into my life here in Germany. And we just had this amazing bond. And I got him during the pandemic. And I know that had a lot to do with it, right? We're like just in each other's faces 24/7. And I don't have children, so he kind of became a child in that way. I mean, I didn't dress him up and like any, but you know what I mean? Like we bond with our animals, and the animal human bond is just so special. It's so special. And I have to qualify that I've had pets before. I had an amazing dog in my 20s, a Labrador named Sadie. She was my BFF, but this was different. This relationship was different for a lot of reasons. Anyway, he died a tragic death due to an accident that one of my friends made happen, and it was literally the worst day of my life. It felt like a nightmare. I kept saying, like, is this really happening? Is this really happening? And so I went into a downspin. I mean, I just like lost my shit. I would leave the tap on. I mean, I was just not here. I was here, not here, and I didn't really want to be here. I kept saying that to my husband, like, I don't want to be here. I don't know what to do. So anyway, that's grief. That's pet loss grief. That's like, whoa, heavy. Okay, so there's that. And then I said to myself, I need help. I don't know a lot of people here in Germany. I don't know what kind of help I need. So I'm just going to go to Google and I'm going to talk to my family and like communicate to people and just say, like, please help me get the help I need because I want to be okay. I want my joy and like life back. I want to get through this and I don't know how. So I use these, I've In the past, when I've had hard times, I've used like self-help tools. Okay. So one of my favorite things are like Louise Hay affirmation cards. And you read one a day and it's kind of like, okay, I'm gonna focus on this positive thing and we're gonna see what happens. Mm-hmm. I love those. They're simple. And so I was like, there's gotta be something like that for pet loss. And there's not. I found books on Amazon because I was like, I need something now, you know, 911 alert, I'm not okay. And I was just overwhelmed by the amount of books. And I thought, I'm having such a hard time focusing. I'm leaving the faucet on, you know, and how can I even read a whole book? And which book do I read? How many do I read? Well, do I have to read the whole thing to know that I'm going to be okay? And I just kind of got overwhelmed and went, oh my God, how do I even begin this? And so that was my process. Okay. And I ended up having to just sit down and like be and ask myself, okay, I'm very good with self-reflection. I was like, what do you need to do here, girl? Like, let's get these gloves on. Let's just do this. Mm-hmm. And like little tiny suggestions or ideas, little inspirations would come to me. And one of the first ones that ended up being so great was to write Wolfgang a love letter of all the things I loved about him and us and get it on paper. So lest I forget in any amount of time, it's there, it's real, it happened. You know, he is such a quirky cat. We got to play fetch. And so all those things got written down, 7 pages and lots of tears later, I was like, that's a good thing. I'm glad I found that. And so Kayla, I would start sharing these with my mom that I called every day. And she said, why don't you make that deck that you couldn't find? And I was like, no, I don't want mm-hmm. to. That's a lot of work. But I just was sharing with her like these little things I was coming up with. Well, fast forward a couple of weeks, I did reach out and find a pet loss grief counselor because I was not okay. And I, you know, I actually asked her, like, am I crazy? Has something changed in my brain and I will not be okay? And she said, no, everything you've told me is totally normal. And what you're experiencing is normal. And I was flabbergasted. I did not expect her to say that the way I was feeling was normal. And then when that sunk in and I realized that everybody can feel that way, I was like, Mom, we're making the cards. I don't know how, and I don't know how, but we're going to make these cards.
All right.
He's like, I think you're going to make the cards. And I was like, no, I need your help. And so I actually was still so upset. I said, Mom, can I just come home? Can I just come and be with you? And like, we have an early Thanksgiving and just like, we talk about this project. And she's like, yeah. So that's how Wolfie's Wish was born, was yes, we made this card deck and offered simple tools and practices to help heal hearts after pet loss. And it has been gangbusters. This was in October 2021 when he passed. So February, March, I have to count on my fingers because I'm 45, 30, 40, 50, 60. So 17 months ago mm-hmm. is when that idea came. And we are now like translated into 4 languages. And it's just, I'm probably working too hard, but I'm passionate and it's amazing.
Yeah. What, you know, the funny thing, and I say this every single time I interview somebody, not funny, but the incredible thing about companion animals is that it just takes one special companion animal and it can literally change the trajectory of your entire life. Like it just can literally change everything you thought, everything you knew, everything that you used to be, and morph you into a person that, you know, has had this deep, intense loss, and then out comes these beautiful, like Wolfie's Wish, like these beautiful examples, like Wolfie's Wish, where you're not helping just yourself, you're helping, like you said, how many languages has it been translated into?
It's been translated into 4. We've only really printed it in English and German, but I'm like waiting for these companies to tell me they want them. And then I'm like, okay, I'll print them, but I don't have the money to do it before. I need you to tell me.
Yeah.
And then I make them. So French and Spanish are done. Probably need some more editing, but we'll get there.
Yeah. That's amazing. See, and that's like such a worldwide thing. It's a human problem, I feel. It's like all of us feel so deep, you know, a lot of us feel so deeply for our companion animals that it is turned into, you know, like you're helping everybody worldwide. And the point that I wanted to really touch on is you saying like you're overwhelmed by, yeah, there's like, we've had, you know, so many authors on here, and it is fantastic to have these authors on here. And it's fantastic that these people are having these, you know, where they're writing these books, but it can get overwhelming. Like you said, when you're in the thick of grief, like, especially like in situations that I've been into, I don't have the capacity to like sit down and read a book. Like you said, I do the same thing as you. I like forget if I did things and I would leave the faucet on, or I would feed the dogs and then like an hour later be like, did I feed the dogs? Mm-hmm. Did I do that? Because mm-hmm. you're not there. You're there, but you're not.
Yeah. Our brains are trying to process so much. And we're having all these emotions that we're really just on high alert. Yeah. And to read, you can't do that in that. You can't do math in that state, right? It's a different part of your brain that you need to be calm. Mm-hmm. And so I am not dissing books. I have books now. And I just needed to get through that first, what I'm going to just call a first wave. Mm-hmm. And then I can read books. And then I can digest things. And it's kind of like I start to balance out. But in that first month, holy moly, how does anyone function? How? Mm-hmm. And I thought, so Kayla, I have mental health issues. And I thought that's the reason. I thought, oh, my mental health issues are exacerbated by this situation. Oh man, I must be really messed up. Okay, well, I don't want to sacrifice, you know, the hard work I've done to get to where I am mentally. So that's another reason why I really took this head on. I was afraid I wasn't gonna be okay. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I call that the first wave. But come to find out, and I'm still shocked to say that what I was experiencing was normal. I actually asked two professionals. Like, this other lady said that I'm okay. It's like, if I tell you everything, will you tell me I'm okay? Or are you going to tell me the truth? Will you tell me the truth? And they were like, yeah, it sucks, yeah, doesn't it? And I was like, okay, well, okay. Mm-hmm. So what do we do? You know, and I'm a fighter. And I know that not everyone is. And I have so much compassion for the people that don't know how to process and maybe don't feel like they can. And so they just shut down. Right. Yeah. And I really, really wish there was a way to reach those people and help them as well. And I like to think that these simple tools, and, you know, even on Instagram, I post suggestions and helpful things and hope that it helps just a little bit open that up. But everyone's on their own path of healing. So,
yeah, 100%. 100%. And like you said, just even that little bit can help, like that first start, like you said, that first wave, that first start can help tremendously, even if it's like you've been going through it for years, even if, you know, even if you've been, you know, suffering for years with grief, even just opening that little bit and finding some resources, you know, can really help. And I really resonate with you talking about the fact that you thought something was wrong with you, because girl, I know for a fact that's how I was. Like, it was the same thing. I kept thinking something is wrong with me. Like, why am I feeling this way? Everybody else was moving on. Everybody else was like, it's sad, but we're moving on. And I couldn't move on. I was just constantly thinking about it and constantly upset and constantly like you said, I physically hurt, like it physically hurt me that it had happened. And it was just a horrible, you know, existence. And like you said, I didn't want to be here either. I said the same thing. I don't want to be here. If this is how I feel, I don't want to be here. This is horrible.
Who are we referencing? Who are you referring to that you lost?
Well, the this happened
How
twice.
many? How many?
The first time it happened, the actual like catalyst, to start the podcast and everything like that was Athena. And she, I've told the story previously, but she was, it was a, I it wasn't an accident or anything, but it was a freak thing. She got pediatric cancer at 7 months and passed away. And she was like the catalyst for everything. And then, and as much, and like you said, 100%, every single time you have to deal with death, it's different in every situation. And then the second time was definitely, during the podcast, which was Kaya. And she was my soul dog and my heart dog, and the one that I was really connected with. And she was the one that I thought I was crazy with Athena, and then with Kaya, it was the I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to live a life without her here. I don't know how people do this. I have a podcast where I do this, and I still don't know how people do this. Like, I gotta get help. And I love the fact that you said that you have cards that are just quick little things you can look up. Oh my goodness.
This is Vanilli. She likes to know what's going on. She's the one that's really healed my heart. But the cards are, it's a deck of 30. They're just in a little box, and you can read them, you can shuffle them, you can read them in order, but they're just simple daily practices. So love letter is in there. It's like, hey, you can download a free template love letter that actually looks nice on my website for nothing. Print out 100 copies if you need to. It's got little paw prints on the side, and it's meant to be kept. Write it, put it away, and know that it's there, and you can go and read it and remember. You can do that on their anniversary of their passing, or just any time. And it's like, oh, it's such a relief knowing it's there. So that's one of the things. And then I think my favorite card is probably, well, here, I've got some next to me. They're always around. My friend will always be in my memory. When you're ready, have a small celebration of life in a way that's meaningful to you. And I know you can't really see it, but it's a dog,
That's
illustration
beautiful.
on one side. And so it's just like, okay, maybe this card, you read this card and you're like, well, not today, but I like this, and you put it away and you go to the next one. So, and it's impossible to write a one size fits all heal your heart deck. So I just want to qualify that, hey, these are things that helped me. They might not work for everybody, but try to shuffle through and maybe read another one and find the ones that do help. And I read a lot of these on Instagram. And just they're like really simple things like take care of yourself and just reminders to it's okay to have a spa day, let your body and your brain process and relax and just give in to the grief. It's nobody wants to hear that. These aren't magic. No, there's nothing magic in this deck. It's like walking through the fire and coming out the other side is how I felt I got through it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're really great examples of like, reminders that even, like I've said, even if you're like very fresh to it, 10 years out from it, they're really good reminders to remind yourself of to take care of yourself, to that like daily affirmations, that you need examples of that you can create that can help you at, in anything,
And because I still reread these so much and for social media and whatever, I have these awarenesses that even though I'm not in that excruciating pain, I'm like, well, this is a good, that should do this anyway today, So like that one, like how the have a spa day, take some time for yourself. Like we all need that, and we all need reminders of it. And it's okay to make time for that, carve that out. I have to make time for it because I'm like Miss Busy Pants. But it's more than just these decks. I mean, I didn't want to get on here and just like sell card decks. I've built out a website with all the resources that I couldn't find that I needed, and hope that, someone will find something that they need, whether it is a book, a counselor. There's a bunch of YouTube channels. There's healing music on there. I'm a harpist, and I made a playlist of like calming harp music. There's just I have a blog that's like, I understand. It's I have interviews with doctors, veterinarians, psychologists, pet counselors, other people that have gone through grief, to just kind of throw all this stuff out there and hope that somebody finds what they need that day. So that's wolfieswish.com. And I just want to do podcasts like this to open up this conversation and normalize pet loss as a very serious event. And I think people should have paid time off for it. I don't necessarily think we can change the way non-pet owners understand. I don't think we can change the way they respond, but we can open up a conversation to say, you know what, this is serious. I think like 70% of the population has an animal. And by the way, pet love is universal, whether you have a horse, a gerbil, a rabbit, a turtle, or a cat. If you find your soul animal, your heart animal, that's significant. And you don't have to explain it to anybody. I understand. And I just want that. I think that's the goal that I have now, is to, it's like, hey, let's talk about this thing that nobody wants to talk about, right? And I want to just like hold people's hands and to say, you can get through this. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know you can, and give people hope, because I didn't have any hope.
Well, I think as a society, we really need to talk about grief in general, even not even like pet centric, but grief and death and dying as a whole, because especially, and I've mentioned this in the United States, we're very closed off from it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to address it. We don't want to, have anything to do with it. And I think
What's
that
up with that?
it's, I don't know. I think it's just a cultural thing. I think culturally we're not really down for it. I think it makes us think about our own mortality and it scares us. And I think that that has a lot to do with it. But what you said previously about, hey, let's open up the conversation, is I think that us as, companion animal advocates, as companion animal, people that we just love our companion animals, we really need to be the we need to advocate for ourselves in situations where we are speaking to somebody that's not a pet centric or companion animal centric person, and say, hey, I get you don't understand, but like you gotta not say those things, or and then maybe they'll think twice about the next person they speak to that's, has a companion animal loss or something to that effect. And I think that that takes time, obviously. That's not going to be a right after you're going through the grief situation topic, but I think that things like this, like Wolfie's Wish, is a great structure for people in the different portions of their grief journey to get to the be able to be to the point where they can discuss this and be advocates for this conversation of don't minimize.
Yeah, don't minimize. No, that's true. And yeah, I mean, no, but I mean, death is not a party topic,
No.
okay? Like, and it never will be. But it happens to all of us, and it's like, until you've experienced grief, you don't want to talk about it. And I think that's very fair and real. I myself, why would I want to talk about that? And then I went, and then when I've experienced it and I've felt it, it's like, oh gosh, we all need to support one another. And whether it is the loss of a family member, a friend, a fur baby, you it's just going to be there. But I think I want your listeners to know that it's okay to ask for help from the people around you, and to ask for that support. And I just want to validate, pet loss grief is a very serious thing. And I don't know that your listeners will be people outside of this. It's a very niche And so I can't really speak to those people, but I try to do that on other platforms and in other areas to say, you know, here's some things you shouldn't say, right? Don't say, go get another one, because you would never say that to somebody who lost a child. You know, or you wouldn't even say like, well, just have more. Like there's basic things that are hurtful. You know, the whole just get over it. Like there's a whole section on my blog about that. Of like, here's how you can support people. You know, you can ask them what they need. You can bring them food, flowers, go to a movie. Yeah, just ask them what they need. And I wish people had done that for me. I think the people that I knew here didn't get it, and weren't longtime friends, right? Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. I've been here 3 years. This happened in the first year. So who do I really, I can't really count. I mean, I didn't, you know, it's not fair for me to expect that kind of support from people that I don't have a big rapport with. But anyway, I'm digressing.
No, you're fine. You're totally fine. Well, even people that you do know, even people that are very close to you, it's hard to get that support anyway. You know what I mean? Even if you're in a situation where you do have close people around you, because a lot of people, they don't handle grief well at all anyway, regardless if it's a companion animal or if it's a human. And then on top of it, it almost like makes them feel icky. I feel like the best way I could explain it is like, when someone finds out that someone close to you has passed away, they almost recoil from you. Like it makes them feel icky that you're going through that, because it's like, oh God, no, we don't want to talk about that.
I know. And I'm thinking about my own experiences. And I remember almost having the sensation that if I got too close to that person who was grieving, I would somehow catch their grief. I would like a disease. You know, I would catch their sadness and then I'd be carrying it. And I don't know how to, there's not really anything to change. I mean, we can't change people. And I think that's a very normal response. But now I know, I don't have all the answers, but I know that when that happens to people around me, I can just ask them, you know, what do you need? How do I help? Tell me what that looks like for you. And if you don't know right now, that's okay. And then I actually, this happened last month, to some distant relatives. And I was like, grief is grief. You know, let me know how I can help. Can I put you in touch with people? And they said, Erica, nobody asked us that. They all just were like, I'm so sorry for your loss. Click. And so there's just a perfect example of, you're not going to catch anything. You don't have to live. You don't have to move in with these people and console them. You know, grief is a normal process. And it's just, it's like, just give them a hug. And it's okay to say, I don't know what to say. And I don't know what to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'd much rather have somebody say like, I'm not sure how to help you. You know, communicate to me when you're ready, if you need me to do something for you, versus like, I'm sorry, and then I don't hear from him for like 6 months.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You know, and here's the weird part is the grievers, like we there's those there's the stages of grief, right? That are clinical, and one of them is anger. And I actually experienced getting angry at the people that didn't show up for me.
Yes.
And on the other side of that, I went, oh, they didn't know. And they didn't know how bad I was hurting and they didn't know what to do. And I didn't ask. So I can't be mad at them now. And I was for a little while, but now I'm not. Now I realize this was me. And it doesn't mean they don't care. And so I feel like that's a really important thing I wanted to share, is that the people that are in my life that do love me, they still don't know, you know, how to show up in every way. Like we can't expect people to just read our minds.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it's really good just for me to speak up and just ask for help and ask for what I want. And anyway.
That's very like progressive, like I feel like you saying that is it's a very progressive mental health way of thinking in terms of like not a lot of people know that they need to ask for help. You know what I mean? Like not
Oh,
a lot
yeah,
of people
right.
know to be like, I need to ask for help, especially people, me including, that is very stubborn and very, I can handle this. Because I've always been, I can handle this. I got this. Leave me alone. I've got this. I can't rely on anybody. I can rely on myself. I got this. But when it comes to mental health and grief, that's, let's be real here, that's not reality. You do need help.
I'm the same way. I'm very stubborn and I like to solve my own problems. And this was one fish I could not tackle. I just couldn't get around it. I was like, I can't figure this out. But you know what? Going back to the mental health issues, I learned that a long time ago to ask for help from helpful people because of the tools that I was learning to deal with my mental illness. So I just realized right now that's not a normal thing people think of day to day. They don't know to ask for help from helpful people. And I was like, oh, here I am assuming that people know to do that and they don't.
No,
So
because
what,
I didn't.
yeah, so how did you what are what how did you process your grief from Athena, and how did you get through that, if you don't mind me asking?
No, you're fine. I didn't. If I'm being honest, I didn't for a very, very, very long time. Until I would say this podcast, I didn't process it. I was a wreck. I was that person that was crying 24/7, miserable, and every year got worse. It wasn't like it got better, it got worse. Every year was more me second guessing myself, second guessing the decisions I made, second guessing how I treated her, second guessing what I fed her. Everything you could think of, that was me for 10 years. And then I started the podcast and I realized I had to change my thought process. I wasn't going to get better if I didn't reframe the situation in my head. So
That's amazing.
I had to do
That's
it.
amazing that you were able to do that. That's exactly what I feel like I had to do. And a lot of these cards are focused on gratitude and looking at the joyful memories versus my pet's dead and my friend killed it and I'm miserable. Those are both like the whole the what do I say, negative stuff. I'm just gonna lump it into that word, is normal. It's gonna be there. But what I eventually came to realize was that I can balance that out by focusing on how my heart felt with Wolfgang and remembering the good stuff. And it's like as soon as, and it just happened right now, like if I was ET, my chest would be glowing. Okay. Where I remember the wonderful things and lessons that he taught me. And then it's like, yeah, the bad stuff is there, those negative feelings are there, but there's a bunch of good stuff too. And so it's totally reframing how you're looking at things. And it's not easy work. It's not. It's work. But like this card I'm looking at right now, remember the joy. They all fell. I always take another one. I loved my pet with all my heart. The amount of pain I feel is equal to the love I gave. So
Wow.
that's not so much on the gratitude, like joyful stuff, but it gave me permission, you know? Like I read this down, I'm like, yep, I really did. I loved him with all my heart. And that's why I hurt so bad. And then I was like, oh, that makes sense. You know, out of all this other stuff that doesn't make sense, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
You
yeah,
get so wrapped up in the negative
totally. And
because
that's another
grief is such a
thing.
negative thing.
Yeah, it's loss. It's loss of something that was there. And we can't control that. And that's one of the hardest things in life is like not having control over people, place, people and things and animals dying, you know. Well, there's so much more that we don't have control over, but anyway, yeah. So I'm really glad to hear that you eventually found a way to heal yourself and that this podcast helped you in that process, and we know has helped other people too. I'm sorry it took you that long. That's a really long time to suffer.
Yeah, it was. It was a very, very long time. I always talk about, like, I feel like I lost 10 years of my life. I feel like I genuinely, like, I wasn't. And then, then there comes all the other stuff, like, okay, so we got dogs after, like a year after she passed away. And I love them so much, and I've put my all into them, but I have that, I have to work on it every day, but I have that sense of regret that I feel like I wasted time with them because I was so wrapped in the grief from
Oh.
Athena. You know what I mean? Like, that I wasted all this time I've had with them being
Oh.
so wrapped in the grief from the original situation.
Oh, I don't see it that way. I understand what you're saying, but I mean, first of all, what are the names of your dogs that you got? I don't know. Do you still have those?
I do. We have three of them. We have we had four. She just passed away in September, so we recently lost her, and that was one of my biggest things with her, was I was like beating myself up, like, oh, like, come on, Kayla, why did you waste 8 years of her
No,
life grieving Athena,
but like, look, she found you guys and you gave her a better life. I mean, she could have been in a shelter, she could have been homeless, she could have been in so many worse scenarios, and you gave her a new home and a loving home. And again, it's like I had to go through this too of reframing things, going, okay, how do I not be so hard on myself?
Yes.
It's not helping, it's hurting. So, what are ways that I can look at any situation around Wolfgang? I mean, I blame myself for his death, even though it wasn't me. I live here and it happened here. So, therefore, I'm responsible, right? I was going down on these really squirrely rabbit trails of thinking. And eventually, I came to, you know what? Could have never found this guy. It was during the pandemic, all the shelters were cleared out. I was posting on all these message boards everywhere. I was like, I want an animal. And someone responded that an hour outside of the city is a farm with a cat who has eye herpes and nobody wants him. Do you want him? And I was like, sold. I mean, I don't want to pay, but I'll take him, sure. And she said, he's only 6 weeks old and he has to have all this medication. And I was like, bring it on. Some stranger drove me there to pick him up. Like, it's just like one of those stories that. What are the chances that we found each other? They're pretty slim. And I look at, okay, he only lived a little over a year, but I gave him the best life that he could have. We saved his eye. It was still milky, but we saved his eye. And he got so much love and toys and attention. I mean, he could just be this like farm cat out in the freezing snow right now, right? So that looking at it that way and kind of going backwards to like, oh my gosh, we found each other out of I came across the world. Like that helped me so much rather than he only lived this long and he died tragically. So that's the way I choose to look at it. And it's a choice. It's a choice.
Well, yeah, it gets so easy to get into that rut of, like, all the things I didn't do. All the things that I didn't do, all the things I did wrong, all the things, that I caused, or that, maybe a chain, a of events that just went perfectly together that, made the situation worse or whatever. And my sister always tells this to me all the time, and I try to remember it. What does beating yourself up do? Is it gonna change the situation? No. Is it gonna go back in time and, make things not happen the way they did? No, it's gonna literally, all it's doing is wrecking you. And what's that doing? And I would always respond back previously, I would always respond, well, I deserve it. I
Oh.
deserve it because of what happened.
Oh no.
But it's, I'm trying, like I said, I'm trying to reframe everything. I'm trying to make it so it's not that you know, because you get so wrapped up in the like, what could I have done better, that
Sure.
you have to, you know, try to really change the way you think. And it's hard. Like you said, it's so hard. And the cards are a really good example of something you can look at every day, because that's how I am. I need to look at something every day to remind myself to reframe, because my brain doesn't automatically go to the good, it goes to the bad.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too. I'm a negative ninny. Does anyone else say that? That doesn't sound as good. It doesn't sound as good coming out. I was like, oh, I thought that was going to sound better. Negative. And I don't want to put someone's name there because I don't want to associate it, but I was like, oh, that sounded dumb. Anyway, no, I constantly have to work on staying positive and looking at the good. And I was thinking about, when you were talking that, these animals can't talk to us. They can't tell us what they need, and yet we're responsible for their entire well-being. It's a lot. That's a lot on us. So of course we're going to go backwards and be like, coulda, shoulda, woulda, what happened, woulda, this would have saved him. Ugh, right? Or if I'd only done this, because it's up to us to feed them and care for them and take them to the vet and do all of those things. They don't have, their mama cat and daddy dog, or they're all gone. And that's why we beat ourselves up. That's why we sit and analyze, because I mean, I did that. You know what I did? I counted 16 things that had to have gone wrong that day for him to die. And I was like, that's a lot. That's a lot of things. And I came to the conclusion that it was just his time. I was like, a lot of these things were kind of freaky coincidences of those 16. And that's how analytical I am. I still remember 16 things. It had to be off that day. I had a friend visiting from the US. That's one of the 16 things. I mean, anyway, and it does it help me? No, it doesn't. At the end of the day, I have to accept that he was here for the time, and I have to look at how lucky am I to have had that year with him, right? There's your reframe. And would I have rather not had that relationship? Hell no. So I have to, I did so much analyzing, right? And it came to, how lucky am I that I found that cat? How lucky am I that I found that guy? And that has helped me a lot. And it's all of these things are not easy, and they're not gonna work for everybody. And that's okay. I'm just out to share, like, I feel a little victorious that I was able to enjoy life again and get back into my hobbies. And that's a huge thing for me personally. And so I feel like with the things that I struggle with, I'm bipolar, I'm an out recovered alcoholic, and I'm treated for all of the both of those, and I have ADD. I'm not ashamed of any of those things. I'm just laying the groundwork for, like, yeah, I got work. I got to work on myself all the time. And so if I can get through this, I know anyone can. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great way to put it. That's a great way to put it, because if anybody, like you, we all have the capability to work on it and get better. It's just having, like you said, having those resources. Having the resources, being able to recognize that you need help, being able to recognize that, you know, if the one thing that I could tell people, the one thing I could tell people that are actively going through grief is, it doesn't go away, but it gets better.
Yeah.
You don't feel
Yeah.
like this forever. I always try to tell my friends that if they're going through grief, you're not going to feel like this forever. It's going to take time, but you're not going to feel like this forever.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's really helpful to know. Because I remember it in the first week was just kind of black. And I just thought to myself, like, oh God, this is the worst. And I mean, having mentioned those other things I deal with, I've been through some shit.
Yeah.
Okay. yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into my getting sober story, right? We're going to save that for a different podcast. Okay. We're not going to get into the like, how did you know you were bipolar story? So anyway, but I'm still, it still surprises me to say that that week was the hardest week I've gone through. And that just says a lot about pet loss right there. And, you know, I feel my face is flushed. Like I'm red right now because it's so real and raw. And like I still get surprised when that comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really?
Absolutely.
Really the hardest thing? Yeah, that was the hardest thing for me.
Yeah. And I always had that fear too, like going through it the first time, I had that fear, like I never want to feel like that again. I never want to feel like that again. Never want to feel like that again. So then when we lost the second one, I was like, I'm feeling that way. Like, why am I feeling that way again? I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to. And granted, it was an easier process because I had the tools and I had the, trying to reframe everything. And it's still rough and I still have bad days. Like you said, I still have days where it's like, well, that goes out the window. And I remember the bad things. And then it's like, okay, no, you need to stop. And you need to think about this. And I feel like your cards would be a good way to like restart your thought process again if you start getting down that rabbit hole. That's what I call it. The rabbit hole of like, despair of like, oh God, I should have done this and this and this and this. And then you can pick up a card and go, no, look. The love I had was great. And that's why the loss is great. And that, I need to remember the good. I need to remember what made me love them so freaking much.
And hold on to that. Like, imagine, I mean, you've seen ET, right? You know, his heart glows. I just know, like, as soon as I start talking about that, I was like, wait, has everybody seen ET? Because you're younger than me. I'm pretty sure she has, but let me just make sure. I mean, that's the feeling that you want to replace or follow with the negative ninny stuff that's just going to come out of nowhere. It will always be there. And you're just like, hey, what's up? Go.
Yeah,
Thanks for
go
showing
away.
up today. Thanks for
Yeah.
showing up today. And then you go to that place where your heart like resonates again and you're like, okay, I can do this.
Yep.
And it's a
Absolutely.
practice. It's a practice.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Well, okay, so I know you mentioned it before, but I always like doing this 'cause we want to promote the crap out of you so that they go check you out. Talk about what's your website again? Talk about where you can find Wolfie's Wish, your Instagram, all that. Give me all your information.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. So the website is wolfieswish.com, and that's just Wolfies wish.com. That's where you can find free resources. You can find the social media links. You can buy the cards. Oh, I didn't even talk about the book because the book is just silly, but I wrote an illustrated book about pet loss too, and that's on
Me.
there. I forget to talk about
No,
it.
let's talk about it. Let's talk
I
about it.
forget. Okay. Yeah, because people are like, why don't you talk about this? And I just forget. All right. So it's called Tales of Spirit Cat. Tales of Spirit Cats. But here's the thing: you replace the spirit cat in the book with any animal, and it works. It's about imagining your animal having the best time and getting to do all the things they couldn't do while they were boarded up in your house, right? And so again, it takes this mind shift of they're not with me, but what are they doing? And
Yeah.
it becomes a game. Kids love it, adults love it. You laugh, you cry, but it's funny. Like, I mean, if you can imagine Athena right now doing something that she didn't get to do with you on this earth, like, what would it be?
Right. Yeah.
What would make you smile?
Yeah. Probably having a yard. She didn't have a yard, and I feel horrible about that. I feel that's one of the things I had to reframe because I felt so bad that she didn't have a yard. But that's so great because literally, as you're saying this, I'm thinking to myself, what a great exercise to imagine them doing, like, say they had chronic health issues, or, like, didn't make it past their first year of life or whatever. You can imagine them happy and healthy doing what you wanted them, what you hoped that they would be doing. That's great.
And you don't have to have permission to do it. You can do it anywhere, anytime. You can let your imagination run wild. Like, the crazier the better, right? Okay, cats can't really be in the ocean. So one of the pages in the book is like he's catching rides on surfboards with surfers. I mean, just
So cute.
ridiculous stuff that, and then the best, my favorite page is so I have this giant IKEA stuffed shark that I just got because it was awesome. And he used to sleep on it. It's that big. He just like cuddled up and sleep on it. And when he was a kitten, he would hump it too. I don't know. That's weird. But I washed it. I washed it. No worries. And anyway, so one of these days I got a picture of him on that, and I had remembered it when I was like working on this book because it was therapeutic for me, and that ended up in there. And that spirit cats get to sleep with the sharks in the aquarium, and the thing that like kids just scream out loud because they're like, sharks don't sleep. And so it's just like I feel like the more ridiculous you can get with imagining your pet in a joyful environment in another realm or dimension or heaven or whatever you believe in is so good for your heart. It's so good for your heart. I mean, I'm smiling ear to ear right now because like, wouldn't that be awesome? And we don't know, but how it's about the feelings. We're talking about our feelings and getting through stuff. So use your imagination and be creative. And I read this book in kindergartens and I'm like, what was your pet that you lost, and what would they be? What can you imagine them doing right now? And this little boy's like, well, he would be making popcorn. I mean, I love it, right? Like, kids are the best to ask. So anyway, so you can get that book on there. So our social media is Wolfie's underscore wish on Instagram. I have TikTok, but I don't use it. Maybe I will later. There's a YouTube channel with interviews and music. Again, just Googling Wolfie's Wish should get you everything, get you finding something.
Awesome. That's awesome. You need to talk about that book more often, 'cause we had our author on here that did, like, specifically a book about companion animal grief for children. That was really great, but I feel like also it can be really hard, like, as parents. Like, I imagine, I fortunately, like,
Right, we all.
my kids were old, my kid my son was old enough when, we had to go through a loss to actually just explain it to him. But I feel I can imagine it would be really hard to try to kind of work grief with like, you're going through your own crap, and then you
Right.
have to work grief with your child as well.
Right.
And so I feel
Right.
like your book would be a humongous resource for a parent trying to work the grief within themselves and their child. And they can,
Exactly.
it's like, a way they can connect, and a way that they can talk to each other and create these scenarios of, making popcorn.
Yeah, and it's short. It's not a big book. It's just a lot of illustrations. It's like one little sentence on each page and something ridiculous that Wolfgang is doing, like sleeping with gargoyles in France and stuff. I mean, it's just that's ridiculous. But it helped me. And then I was like, well, I'm just gonna, I took a big risk on printing this stuff. I was like, maybe this is just what I like, right? But we actually won an award. There's this trade show called Super Zoo, and it's North America's biggest pet trade show. So Canada, US. And we just were like, well, here's our thing. I don't know, we're here, we're new. I had just gotten the cards like 2 months before. and we won a Best New Product Award, and I lost it under the table. Like, I crawled under the table and I was like, it's real, people like it. Oh my God. I didn't just waste, you know, so much money and time. And that gave me the confidence to then say, okay, I literally like put a sticker on the box from that point on and was like, this works. People like it. You know, these aren't dumb. I was able to go to stores and veterinarians and other conferences and say, like, look at this. There's nothing like this. Yet I know it's going to be copied, and that's great. That's great. There's just more stuff out there, and probably someone will make it better. I hope, because I'm just a person. I'm just a person who grieved. I'm like not an author. I'm not a businesswoman. I mean, I have to be now, but like I've had to learn so much.
Yeah.
And it's kept me humble too, to just be like, yeah, I don't know how to do that. Let me find someone that does.
Yeah. Yeah, but some of the best things are started out like this, you know what I mean? And I don't think that anybody could do any better, maybe different. Maybe they could do it a little differently, but I'm not sure that better would be the good word, because you know, yeah, okay, somebody can come up with it that maybe is well-versed or professional in doing it, but they're not going to have that piece you have, which is Wolfie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is that maybe a pet loss counselor could maybe take this on and modify it, make it better. I don't really know. I keep Googling to pet loss cards to see like who else is coming out with, because we know that ideas aren't independent. A lot of things happen at the same time. And I'm like, who else is doing it? Who else is doing it? Let's team together. Let's do this, because everything's expensive.
Yeah.
I haven't found anybody yet. So anyway, it would make me really happy, because then there's less work for me to do to try to get these out. And that's the weird thing, Kayla, is like when I Google what I think these are called, pet loss cards, all I find are sympathy cards. Yeah. And I was like, okay, pet loss, grief, cat, dog, self-help gift cards, affirmation. And I still can't find Wolfie's wish. And I'm like, okay. And then I reached out to this SEO person the other day, and they're like, yeah, we're $500 a month. And I was like, good for you. Click. Like, I don't know what to do. So if anybody's listening to this and they have a marketing background, they want to trade, and I give them a bunch of cards to give to their friends and family forever.
Yeah.
And
they want
to get found.
That's what
we need to get found.
Yeah.
People need to know there. And I don't do SEO. I mean, I just, yeah, that's the thing I'm struggling with now. And the frustration is like, man, you go to Amazon, you literally have to spell out Wolfie's wish with the apostrophe in order to find us.
Yeah.
So,
we have the same issue with us, because if you type in like pet loss podcasts, it's like specific episodes on podcasts that are not related to pet loss or grief, that are just people talking like, yeah, my dog died, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, I wish it would show up. But I'm going to give you one little tip that I think you maybe, well, yeah. I mean, if you're looking, I feel like you have to do, like you said, the SEOs are like, nah, like six pages down, then you can find us, you know, on there or whatever. But I will say, and I hate to say this, because I actually just deleted, sorry guys, I have to tell you this. I deleted our TikTok. So we don't have TikTok anymore. My mental health could not handle it.
Oh, good for you though. That's so great. That's the best reason. That's the best reason. You know what? I think more people need to do that for that reason, right? Check in with yourself. Is it helping? Is it really helping? Mm-hmm. Or is it hurting?
Yeah, it was causing anxiety.
I'm proud of you. That's
Thank
awesome.
You. Yeah, I feel bad. But with that being said, we are talking about, we're going to do like subscriber services for us, but it has nothing to do, like, we're not paying, like me and Nikki are not going to be taking that money and paying ourselves for it, because it makes me feel gross. Like, it genuinely makes me feel like morally, I started this to help people out. I don't want it to turn into this weird thing where I'm an influencer type of thing. And so we do want to do like paid subscriptions, like maybe like a Patreon, but we want to frame it where it's going to go to like, hopefully one day, like a nonprofit that maybe we can create where it, I really want to help. Hey guys, don't take
Yeah,
my
get it
ideas.
out. Tell me
Don't take my
more.
ideas, guys, but
No.
I want to create a nonprofit where we can help financially with cremation services for companion animals, because that hurts me that there's people that don't, you know, I understand that not everybody thinks of it the way we think of it. And I understand that financially it is hard to offer cremation services like through the vet and stuff like that. And so they do these group cremations. And they'll tell you like, hey, it's, you know, $50 to cremate them as a group versus getting just your animal. And I paid $300 to get my chinchilla by herself because I only wanted her. And they originally told me it was going to be $40, $40. And we put a bunch of small animals in there. And I was like, no, girl, I need to have my girl and my girl only. And I will pay. And I paid $300. And they looked at me like I was nuts for doing it. But I want to somehow come up with a nonprofit where we're allowing funds be allocated to people that wouldn't regularly, even if you want to go the route where it's a group cremation and you cannot afford it. I never want you to not have that peace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That is beautiful. I support you in that. And I want to support you in that. And you were talking about money and grossness. And I had to sit in the very beginning stages of, do I form an LLC or a nonprofit? How do I just got to go. I got to make a decision right now. I don't have time to really like think it through. I mean, I wasn't impulsive, but when I researched those two choices, I was like, for the nonprofit, I have to have a board of directors. And that means I have to ask for permission to do anything.
100%.
And I'm a stubborn loner. So I was like, yeah, no, not happening. And I said, when I make a profit, I haven't made a profit yet. I'm in serious debt. I'm okay with that. I don't care. I mean, I care. But anyway, my point is that when I get over that hump, however long it takes, I don't care. I'm in this forever. Then I get to choose what organizations I want to support. I get to choose what I want to do with that money.
100%.
Am I going to sit around and eat Cheetos? Probably on Saturdays. But the rest of the time, I want to.
100%.
I mean, I'm in this to help people. And
right.
So are you.
Like, right.
We're not. I mean, I am selfish, but we're not that selfish. We're just going to sit around and like.
No.
Anyway.
Well, and let me reframe that. When I say I feel icky, that's my own personal moral weirdness that I have because I am an empath and I feel weird about like that kind of stuff. But if you're spending your like us, yes, okay, me and Nikki spend our time. Yes, we spend like money. I had to buy, you know, stuff for the podcast. We have to buy subscriptions to be able to keep running it and, you know, having episodes pumped out for you. And we have to like move, you know, files from one type of file to another type of file. We have to pay for subscription for that. But I'm happy to do it because we're reaching an audience that like, I feel like really needs it. But if you're spending your hard earned money and time and you really believe in something, there's nothing wrong with getting funds for that. That I should have reframed that because that was very harsh. So like, I feel icky. I'm above everybody. But that's not the way I was saying it. If you're using your time and you're using your hard-earned money to get stuff off the ground or whatever, of course, I feel like there should be a profit coming into you. It's just personally me. I'm sitting at a desk recording episodes. I've, you know, yes, I interview people and I talk to people, but this to me is more like a hobby to me more than a career setter. You know what I mean? So to me, that's why I would feel icky personally. I feel like I don't put enough into it to be, you know what I mean? Like I'm not putting enough into it for me to feel right making money off of it. Does that make sense?
Got it. Yeah. But I think your idea is so beautiful and I want to see you succeed in that. That's something I'm actually learning about now is I'm partnering with different companies and I have a call in 2 days with a large crematory company in America. And I don't have that kind of knowledge. And it's like really curious to me, how does one set that up? Because it's insanely expensive. And if you want a nice urn, are you kidding me? It's like, like a Gucci handbag, and I don't even own a Gucci handbag. I just know that they're like thousands of dollars. So to have, it's like, how do you make that happen? Like, I want to make that happen too. And I think that can be realized. I think for me to go from where I was 16 months ago or 17 months ago to where I am today, anything can happen.
Right.
Right. I mean, I can't believe that I've come here. I'm like, where I am, this didn't just burn up and fail, you know? And I had to make that choice. I was like, okay, this is either going to work or it's not. I have to take that risk. Am I willing to take that risk to lose a bunch of our own personal money? Family
Absolutely.
and friends did donate to the printing, but like, yeah, I'm in this, and so anything can happen, and that can happen fast too. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100% on that. Well, and I can always ask Nikki. She's a good resource since she has a rescue, so she knows how the nonprofit game works. So I can ask her all of that on, because like you said, you have to have a board. I mean, there's all these logistics that you have to have for it. You have to apply for it, all that stuff. But I just, that
That's
was
not
the,
hard. Yeah, that's not hard to set up. It's not. You just have to do it right, and then you want people on your board that will agree with you and not always oppose you. That's the only thing.
100%. Yeah. And the control thing, that's the hard part too, is I you kind of have to give up a little bit of control when you have a nonprofit, because if they make decisions that you necessarily, like you said, aren't on your, wavelength, you have to make sure that you have everybody on the board that's equal to what the way you think and stuff. And my thing was, is like, I never want somebody, a lot of times when you look at situations with companion animal loss, there's situations that they may pass naturally at home or maybe through an accident and they pass that way. But a lot of times you have to do it where you have to make the decision. Maybe there's been a lot of string of medical bills, maybe because you have to pay for the euthanasia. That all thing, like this last experience in September with Kaya, she had hemangiosarcoma, and it was a 5-hour time frame from when she showed symptoms to when she was put to sleep because of the cancer had ex well, basically what happened, it caused a tumor in her abdomen and it exploded and she was bleeding internally. And it was 5 hours. And in 5 hours, I had to spend like $1,300 because we rushed her to an emergency vet, because of course everything that's gonna happen always happens in the middle of the night. So, it happened in the middle of the night of when we had to take her. It was 1 in the morning. And so there's extra costs with the emergency vet. And then there's, if they have to run any tests, do blood work, anything like that, that's extra costs. And then the cremation itself is a huge cost. And so it was, like I said, $1,300 of unexpected funds. And granted, that was on the cheap end because they knew almost immediately what had happened to her. But if you don't know, and then you're expected to pay 7,000, $700 to cremate. And you're like, like I just,
Top of your grief, on top of your shock and grief, you're stuck with that too. Yeah, that's a doozy.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, guys. I you know what? Take my idea. You said that earlier. Like, I hope people do. And at first, I got like that, like, oh, but no, girl, you want this for yourself. But if you have your head in it for the right reasons, you want everybody to catch on and to grow and for other people to, have resources and all that stuff. So yeah, like I hope that I can create this nonprofit. But also, like, if you guys have the resources, do it too.
Wait, no, you just ask your listeners to team up with you. There's your board of directors. The people that want to do it will
Yeah.
reach out to you and you guys do it
True.
together. It's
Yeah.
not like a we or them thing. No,
Yeah.
the more the merrier.
That's true. I love that. Well, okay, so I have to say, I'm sorry that I said that I feel icky taking money. I didn't clarify, and then now I'm like, hey guys, no, I'm a jerk because people who are in the animal industry that take money from people, because then I'm a jerk because I have a business that's pet centric where I make cakes and cupcakes for dogs that was started because of Athena. So I'm a jerk too, so
That's so precious. How special. You must have so much fun making those. I mean, it's one thing to make a cake for a friend or a family member, but when you're making them for animals, that's a whole other level.
It's fun. It's so much fun.
That's so great.
It's yeah, I love it. We've been in business, I think 9 years. I think we hit our 9 year in February. So I've been around for 9 years, but it got a little like taxing because, like figuring out like you can't put certain stuff in the cakes and you have to be very careful about listing ingredients because a lot of dogs have allergies and all that stuff. And so it got a little weird. And then also I hated vendor events when you're all like Super Zoo. Did you go to Super Zoo?
I did. Yeah, we got a new exhibitor booth there. Holy moly, that place is it's amazing. I mean, it's just so big. It's just so big. If it's so big, someone came to me after we won the award and they're like, "Okay, we want to place an order. Take your card." They couldn't find me again, and they reached out after the show and they're like, "I got lost. I knew where you were. I was already at your booth and I couldn't find you again." And I was like, "Yeah, I didn't even go into that sea of stuff. I just stayed in my little safe corner." That people remember. Yeah. Super Zoo and all of those trade shows. Global. I didn't do global. Here I did some other ones.
Yeah, vendor events can be scary.
Expensive and
Well,
yeah.
girl,
Yeah,
yeah.
expensive, exhausting. You're there on your feet all day talking about your product, which I love doing. And luckily my friends and family support me in that. I can't afford to hire staff. They come because they love it. And we get to meet animals and people and help them. And I mean, just I was in Atlanta at Groomed. Have you heard of Groomed? Could be called something else. Anyway, it's put on by Super Zoo or WPA. Anyway, I had this eye-opening experience where a woman came up and she bought the illustrated deck because why didn't I even say this? We have different decks. They just look different. It's the same words, but the illustrated deck is for children. And she's like, "My daughter has autism and we just lost our dog and she's not understanding and she's not doing well." That was her friend. And so she's like, "The images on these will help her understand what the words are saying." And that just floored me. I went, "Oh, that's so great. I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me that. Please call me in a month and tell me, are they helping? Like, can they be better?" So so it's good and it's hard. But it's the meeting people like that that make me keep going back to those things and keep shelling out. It's thousands of dollars to go.
Yeah, it's hard. That was the hard part for me because I met some of my best friends at vendor events. You know what I mean? Like Nikki, actually, the co-host of this podcast. I started Athena's Puppy Cakes, and I had was on a lot of local news channels for Athena's Puppy Cakes because it was new and different, and the story was different. I wasn't starting it, just for no reason. I was starting it, Athena's Puppy Cakes. It was about Athena. And so, and I wanted to do like cancer safe. I did, I still do cancer safe, puppy cakes that don't have any grains or starches in it because a lot of times the cancerous tumors they'll feed off of grains and starches. So dogs that are going through treatment or animals that are going through treatment, they have them on a no potato, no grain, no starch diet. And
Oh,
so I
interesting.
wanted to do something that was grain and starch free so they could enjoy and partake in stuff if they were still going through cancer treatments. And that's how I met Nikki. Is I did a vendor event and she showed up to one of them and I was like, "Hey, I like you." And she was like, "I run a rescue." And I was like, "We're best friends now."
Oh man, that's a great story.
So, yeah, so that's vendor events can be great and they can also be horrible at the same time because you're tired and it's a lot of work setting up your booth and bringing everything and making sure that you're like eye catching enough that people notice you in the
Oh
sea
man.
of booths and stuff like that. But yeah, I applaud you and commend you for doing Super Zoo. I never did Super Zoo because of how large it was, but that's fantastic that you were voted like one of the best new products because that's a huge deal.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I again, we actually won first runner up for best new product in the gift category. And I have a stepmom and a mom, and they were like, "Oh man, blah, blah." And I said, "No, you guys, this is perfect. Had I won first place, just hands down, best thing ever, you know what I would do? I would go home and put my feet up." Getting runner up was enough confidence to keep me going. and yet not be conceited at all. Mm-hmm. Just, it just validated it. And I was like, mm-hmm. this is perfect. And I still feel the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, I work 7 days a week. I balance my time because that's very, 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 very important to make sure I stay, yeah, healthy. Mm-hmm. but yeah, Super Zoo was great. And so was Groomed. I did New York Vet. I'm going to do, oh, Kayla, can I tell you the coolest thing that has happened since that award?
Absolutely.
I was at Groomed and I got invited to do another show. And I don't even know how it came up. So I'm a harpist and a singer and a DJ. That's my job. I do weddings and private events. Okay. And somehow that came up in one of these conversations. And they were like, oh, well, we hire entertainers, you know, for our pet memorial show. And I was like, what? I want to do it. And they were like, great. And we ended up trading, just flat out trading for me showing up and bringing my harp and doing like whatever they need music wise. I get to go and display my stuff for free. Three events back to back happened this fall that way. I don't pay for the booth. I mean, if that's not the universe saying like, go girl, you know, use everything you've got and here's the way to do it. And keep in mind, I have to travel to the US. Mm-hmm. So I get to see my family. But the fact that all these are happening over three consecutive weekends in California, Texas, and Florida, and then I come home, I'm like,
that's great.
I never knew you could barter in this kind of sense. Uh-huh. I've never bartered my harp services. Like, I've never done that.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool stuff happens. And, and it's just like being at trade shows and meeting a lot of people, and then just putting stuff out there. I mean, I'm just floored at like the way things are happening. I really am.
Absolutely.
Fun. It's fun. It makes this fun and worthwhile.
Yep. Well, and like you said, the universe works in mysterious ways. And so if there's a need for it, then the mysterious, the universe is going to put you out there, you know, and it's going to make sure that you're seen and that, you know, and that you're a resource that needs to be seen. So I'm excited. And
I really want to support you, and I'm going to follow up with you about your nonprofit idea, especially after talking to this, this crematory company on Thursday. And then one of the conferences is this international crematory conference. So I'm sure we'll be talking and keeping in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. We always say this every time. And so far, well, we have a couple people coming back on this year. So I just moved my mic. I wasn't lying about this, but every time we record with somebody, we say, in a year from now, we want to check back in with you. We want to do another episode so you can tell us all the cool stuff that has happened in the year and what's going on and all that stuff. And we've checked back in with Gabby, who might be coming on the show again, guys. You're going to be so excited. She's the death doula that we spoke with on our third episode ever. And she might be coming. She's coming back on. And then we're going to have Bonnie back on with Pet, the suffocation nonprofit that she started from her loss of her dog passed away from a chip bag. And so she started a nonprofit, and she has some awesome stuff to tell us about that and the changes that have been made. She was trying to lobby for Lay's to put a warning on their bags. So we'll talk about that. And
wow, good for her.
Yeah. Oh God, she's amazing. You should listen to that episode. She was one of the coolest people we've ever talked to, and just her situation and her nonprofit is huge now. She's raising tons of awareness, and to the point where Lay's is talking about possibly putting a warning on their bags.
Fingers crossed.
Yep. So we'll have Bonnie back on, a couple other people. But in a year from now, we want to check back with you, Erica, and we want to see how Wolfie's Wish has grown and things that you have changed and added. And we appreciate you coming on, and we appreciate you being here and your resources. And
Kayla, can we play a game?
Yeah.
I wanna like see if I can manifest stuff.
Okay.
Let's try it.
All right.
Nothing to lose.
Yes.
So what is it? It's March. Next March, I want to have those two other decks, the French and Spanish decks, printed and sold, like printed by demand and then sold. And I want Wolfie's Wish to be known easily on a Google search, found. And I want people to know that there's resources. Okay, anything else? Hold on, this is fun. Oh, I know. I want to make a profit.
There you
Yeah,
go.
that's
There you
my year
go.
goal. Those are my
Finally.
3 year goals.
Yes, totally. I agree with that.
Profit.
100%. 100%. We're
I
putting
can
in
do
the
all that.
universe.
I
You
can do all
can.
that. I
You
should throw
totally
out
can.
something really hard. Okay, I got one more. Let's do this.
Okay.
Why not talk to Oprah about it and pet loss? She loves dogs. She has dogs.
Girl,
How do we
totally.
bring, I mean, she's the perfect person to talk about awareness
Manifest it.
and self-reflection and empowerment. And I mean, that's her. Oh yeah. I want to talk to her on, no, I want to be on her show, I guess.
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying, actually.
Right.
Oh,
If you could see the
sorry.
video, guys, literally right after she
Oh
said her, her face went, oh no.
my God. Yeah. That, okay, why not though? Why not? I mean, it's
Put
not
it in the
going to hurt me. It's
universe.
going to do great things. It's scary, but hey,
Put it
there you
in the
go,
universe.
universe. Got
Yep.
four things to work out.
100%. I always say put it in the universe. Every time I try to manifest, I'm like, I'm putting it in the universe. Universe, do you hear me? I'm putting it in the universe. So,
That's some big stuff. What
yeah.
can I ask you? Can I ask you to make some goals and play my game for next year?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like probably trying to put the nonprofit together. We want to do a piece that's it's not just animal related. My dad was homeless, my biological dad, and he died homeless, and going through the process of, you know, cremation and all that, that was pretty shitty. And because he had no money because he was homeless, and so trying to come up with those funds and then talking to the actual mortuaries that dealt and handled the situation, and them saying that they typically either have mass graves for homeless people because their family members don't want to be involved into it,
Yeah.
or they will cremate them and their families never pick them up. So I wanted to do like it's a double piece. So nonprofit for animal slash human cremation, where we can help with services as far as funds for that would be great. So that nobody has to be left behind. I don't
I
want
love
nobody
that.
left behind.
I
So,
love that. Okay.
yep.
Well, I
That's what I'm
support
putting in the universe.
you. Yeah. And I support you.
Yeah.
And we'll see what we can manifest this next year. How about that?
Yes, totally, totally. All right, guys. So we're gonna close this episode. We appreciate you listening. As usual, I always say this, we love you guys. We appreciate you guys. We've had a couple of you reach out to us. I know I say it every episode, like if you need anything or you would like to just talk, you can reach us on our social medias. We have a Facebook, Rainbow Bridge Connection Podcast. We're on Instagram, we're RB, I think we're RBP on there, because you know how they're weird about like long names. So we're RBP on Instagram. We no longer have a TikTok, but we have two email addresses, Rainbow Bridge Connection Podcast at gmail.com and Rainbow Bridge Connection 21 at gmail.com. And then, of course, our website, Rainbow Bridge Connection Podcast. We love you guys. We appreciate you. And thanks for listening.